Hello, everybody, and welcome to Versus Pop Culture, where we will do a little bit on the World Cup, Greg.
Yep.
My name is Richard. With me is Johnny and Greg.
Yeah.
We're just so excited. We're just so excited. I can't contain myself. And without an actual countdown, I'ma just start talking.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh man, it's Saturday, it's cold, and we got a Christmas tree yet.
Oh yeah.
Aside from that, boys, what have you been up to this week?
I went to GalaxyCon Columbus last night. Starting my weekend of massive plans. Got off to a good start. I made a promise to Julie when they announced GalaxyCon Columbus that I would take her up there. Because, among other people, Steve Whitmire, who was the voice of Kermit the Frog from like 1990 until like 2018 or 2019, was there. And It was Friday was the only time that it slotted in for us.
Right.
So we went up to GalaxyCon Columbus. We did a package with them where she got a meet and greet and got a poster signed, and we got a picture with him, which is on my Instagram if you were a follower. Although by the time you hear this, it will not be so. I don't know why I bothered saying that. But she also got a admission to and to watch a Muppet Christmas Carol with Steve Whitmire. And then he did commentary. And hands down, the coolest thing was they started it off by having him do a Zoom session and call in Frank Oz. If you don't know who Frank Oz is, he was the longtime voice of Miss Piggy on the Muppets, and that is the only thing he's famous for. And right now, he's not saying anything, but Johnny's shaking his head at me because Frank Oz was also Yoda.
And he was also Frank Oz is a legend. That man can do no wrong.
He was also a massive director in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth, The Score with Edward Norton and Robert De Niro, a bunch of other movies. And it's kind of funny because they called him in and he basically just roasted Steve Whitmire for like 10 minutes.
I'm okay with this. I don't know why, but like, I just love a good roast.
Yeah, oh, it was great. GalaxyCon Columbus, though, was a really good con. It was absolutely massive. I wish that we had more time to go either today or tomorrow because there are a ton of people there. And they had a massive like artist alley and vendor area. I think you could pretty much get lost there all day with no problems whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
Julie had a great time, though. She really, really enjoyed it.
What was her favorite experience at the con this time?
Seeing Steve Whitmire.
Okay.
She also, funny enough,
is. That's what I'm saying.
I was like, "Hey, kid, that's the voice of Kermit the Frog."
Oh, okay.
And she was like, "Oh, the voice of Kermit's gonna be there," and I was like, "Yeah, that's the voice of Kermit."
I was putting it together that she knew who he was before you told her.
No.
Like, God dang, is she on the internet too much? What?
Yes, she is on the internet too much, but no, not that much. excuse me. She also, she went over and talked with Jodie Benson, who is the voice of Ariel in The Little Mermaid, as well as the voice of Barbie in Toy Story 2 and 3. And she also went over and talked with Corbin Burnson, who most people are like, why is she talking to Roger Dorn from Major League? And it's because she sits down and watches Psych with me, and he plays the dad on Psych.
Mm-hmm.
And we were literally walking by, and she was like, who's that? And I was like, that's the dad from Psych. And she went, I need to go see him. So, yep, she had a really good time. It was, you know, sometimes when we leave places like that, she'll be like, best day ever. But it's always like, you know, it's like a little bit like performance, like.
Like she doesn't want to hurt your feelings.
Well, no, not like, she's specifically overplaying it because she's like, yeah, I need to make sure dad knows I liked this.
Or I don't ever get to do it again.
Yeah, but like last night, like you could tell she was just like truly content. Just like this was a great day. And that's basically what makes it worth it in life at this point. That being said, Gregory.
Yes.
What you do, buddy?
I watched a lot of the World Cup.
I'm shocked.
Right. Which is, you know, that was what I'm talking about. It's just, there's something about the World Cup that a lot of people just love. Like, not people that don't even play or watch soccer. You know, at work, where I sit, there's 10 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of them are, there, two of them are soccer fans. Three of them are. Like,
right.
Two follow, Man U, or yeah, two fall Man U, one fall Tottenham. Then there's me. So and the other six people have no interest in anything, not even FC Cincinnati. All of us were watching the World Cup and working out the odds and who was going to get, who was going to go through the round of 16. You know, screaming at goals and everything. Like it just doesn't happen for any other sport.
Yeah.
Nope. Football, baseball, NBA. None of it does that. Only the World Cup does. I just think it was kind of, that's what makes it the World Cup. That's what makes it suck that freaking FIFA is there.
Yeah.
Makes something so good. And then
it's so bad. A crazy tournament this year too, though, right? Because it feels like it's been, it feels a little more wide open than in years past right now. I mean, obviously you have France and Brazil are up here.
Yeah.
There's 50 foot of crap and then the rest of the tournament.
Yep.
50 foot of crap.
Yeah.
Do I need to remind you right now?
I'm not going to have to remind you, but when it happens and it will, don't get it twisted. It will happen. You are about to see the vast difference between France, Brazil, and everybody else.
Yep. And that's the best thing is France doesn't even have all their players.
I know. And like, it's, I just sit there and someone was trying to tell me yesterday, they're like, I don't know, man, the Swiss team's looking really good. They're really fast. And I'm like, that's great.
Bracket play is different than group stages. Yeah. Group stages, you're just trying to keep your people healthy.
Yeah. Look, all I know is the Netherlands are going down today at 10 a.m.
Yes. I agree with that.
USA! USA! USA!
And I love that Uruguay got knocked out because of, was it goal scored or something?
Yep.
Yeah, they got knocked out because of gold score. Oh my god, they were so mad. It was so amazing, dude. And I was like, and it had to be South Korea that did it, like the team that actually showed heart versus the team that expected to be there.
And then somehow, once again, Japan killed Germany. They're really still mad about the 1940s. I don't know. Get over it.
Get it. Yeah, that's the way it goes, man. I mean, that's just it. Japan has a good team. That's what makes it so much fun to watch. So if you like in a world that, you know, they play 20 games, the standings are not going to end up Spain second.
Yeah.
It's going to be Spain, Germany, Japan, Costa Rica. But they only play three matches. So in that time frame, weird things happen. And Japan got a streak. That's how it works.
It was so wild, man. So wild. This week has been crazy, mm-hmm. specifically for the reasons you just listed. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not even like that mad. I think it's fantastic. Japan just seems like an easy team to like want to cheer and like root for and like see them do well. But I mean, like, it didn't hurt that Spain was like, we'll just, sit everybody down. Here comes our substitutions. Literally the entire goddamn team.
Right. Well, that's what makes it like in the last match, they did the math. Like they would have their goal differential was 6.
Yeah.
Like they would have, Germany would have had to win by like 9-3 or something. 9-2 knock them out. So it was just hilarious.
Well, it was just funny because Germany didn't turn it on until the second half of that match. Mm-hmm. And then look what happened. Like they just went, I was like, where has that been? Guys, you still have to try in the group stage.
Yep.
Like, but there's going to be wholesale changes with that club. You know that's coming.
Yeah, that one's coming. No way
that two tournaments in a row now, they fail to get out of the group stage because 2018, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's nicht gut if they need to hear it.
Yeah.
Any big surprise for you outside of South Korea and Japan this week?
Well, when I was looking at it, the Belgium one, Morocco was probably the biggest surprise for me. I know Morocco had an okay team, but I figured it was going to be Belgium, Croatia. But it came down to the golden era for Belgium is over now. Like De Bruyne, Lukaku, all the guys that are on Belgium they're good. The problem is they're older. I think one of the oldest teams in the tournament. Well, was in the tournament. The other person was Hazard. Hazard's 31. Lukaku's 29. Courtois. Mm-hmm. So, like those guys, they've always been rated very high. We've never seen them perform like France or Germany. Like Germany just underperformed the last two tournaments. But you watch them in some of the other tournaments that they play in. And they look really good. Havertz looked really good. But I wanted I think who was it that if they didn't score those goals, it wouldn't have been oh my God, who was it? If Jeremy I was trying to figure out how Spain would have got knocked out. If Costa Rica would have beat Germany, I think, and then that would have put Costa Rica second, but Japan, Costa Rica, not Germany, or not Spain and Japan. I was trying to figure out a way how Spain didn't get through, because I don't like Pedri and Gavi, because they're from Barcelona. That's literally the young kids from Barcelona.
Yeah. Well, like you said, none of these teams are going to matter, Greg. Because at the end of the day, there's going to be two in the final, and barring a holy hell miracle long shot, another team might get into the final, but one of those two teams is also going to be there, and it's not going to be close.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the bracket, it's going to be France or England versus Brazil or Argentina. One of those two. It's going to be one of those four teams. The only thing that could throw a wrench in that is France and England could play on the 10th if France beats Poland and England beats Senegal.
Okay. Senegal's another really good story too, man. That was a great their last match. That was great. So
There's a few Chelsea players that play for Senegal, the goalie and the center back, Koulibaly and Mendy, both starters for Senegal.
Sweet. No, man, I'm I'm excited to see the elimination stage start up now too. This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
next week, baby.
It's been great. We've had like 3 or 4 TVs.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about USA in the Final Four next week, baby.
Richard's not going to be saying a word on the show next week, baby.
Yeah, you know what? The way they played England, that's what I want to see out of the U.S. team. They played very well.
Can they do it without Pusilik?
He's playing.
Back, baby.
He's still playing.
All right.
He's starting as far as...
He said he was pissing red, white, and blue.
Well, one of those is factual.
Yeah, he's on the left wing. The lineup's already out.
All right. We'll absolutely probably get back into this, and we'll be able to follow up and talk about the week that was for the World Cup next week. There was some other news in things that Richard is actually interested in.
It's not the USA.
USA, USA, USA.
He needs something. He needs some. Isn't it Reds Fest this weekend?
Yeah, I don't have time for that. We've talked about this. My weekend is jam packed. I'm leaving here in 35 minutes to take a little one to gymnastics. I have a birthday party today. I've got a family Christmas tomorrow at 1. I have got a jam packed weekend.
Also, because you don't want to go.
In another life, I would probably have gone to Reds Fest last night. I would have bought a ticket from a scalper out front for like $5.
I thought they'd be.
You gotta stop putting money into the team, man. They ain't putting it on the field.
I buy the ticket from the scalper, not from the team. So it's always worked out in the past. Like I just go up to the scalpers. I'm like, you know, how much for two? And they're like $25, and I'm like, I'm thinking $10. And they're like, okay.
You got two choices right now. Sell me the tickets or keep holding on to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where else are you going to go with them? I'm the only one here.
Yeah. Look around. I'm your last resort. Now it's $10 for both.
Yeah. I'm not going to Reds Fest. I hope that it's a good event for the people who are involved. I know it's a big fundraiser for the Reds Community Fund. I have no problem with the Reds Community Fund, regardless of the issues I have with ownership.
I am okay giving money to the Reds Community Fund. The Reds organization will not be seeing a dollar from me moving forward until there's substantial changes. And I've said the same thing about the White Sox. And everyone keeps saying, you'll break, you'll break. I was like, dude, I haven't spent a dime on the Blackhawks in 2 years after the sexual assault allegations. And the worst thing you can do is tell me that I won't be able to do something.
And just to be clear, as much as I don't like how the Reds are currently being operated, they don't have sexual assault allegations, so they're not that bad. But they are, however, sucking the will to fan out of the entire fandom. So
you can alienate your fan base in a million different ways, and it seems that the organizations this trio seems to support enjoy doing that on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. I know I mentioned to you previously, and just quickly to touch back on this, Greg, I don't know if you know this, but I will be getting ESPN Plus next year because I will be watching La Liga instead of doing anything to watch any North American sports. I am done.
I'll start watching it too.
Done.
I'm gonna have to. I have to pick a team. Well, I mean, Real is obviously my team, but if I'm gonna watch Liga, I'm gonna have to watch it. I'm gonna have to watch another team because Real is just gonna beat the snot out of everybody. That's how it works.
That makes it fun for me, though. I bet you Rudiger's already back there because you know that man did not hesitate to get his ass on a plane and get the hell out of Qatar.
Yeah, he did not like it there.
It's interesting the way that fandoms have gone the last
week. Yeah.
And speaking of fandoms, something that Greg, you were actually a recent fan of. Daredevil is born again. not even just a statement, but it's the name of the series. A little bit of casting news. They have signed Michael Gandolfini, who is the son of, one, Tony Soprano, to be in the series. The rumors going around is that he's going to be portraying Wilson Fisk's son. So he'll be the son of the Kingpin.
So is that season four?
I don't know how they're going to frame that.
Yeah, there's been talks of it being an official continuation and bringing in people, and there's been talks of it being more of a soft reboot. So it's not entirely clear right now.
I like the guy who plays Daredevil. Are they going to make him?
He's staying.
Oh, okay. He's back. Oh, there was about to be a riot. Like, what? They're replacing Daredevil?
Bruh. No, it sounds like they've pretty much committed to bring in the majority of the actors and actresses back to like continue the series. This bit of casting news is welcome. I mean, I thought he did a good job portraying his dad's character in The Many Saints of Newark. I'm excited to see young Gandolfini get another opportunity on a big project. I think he's going to be a good fit. And I mean, as soon as I saw that they cast him, I was like, oh, it's got to be Fisk's kid. There's just no way around it. Like, that has to be what he's going to be, right?
It would make a lot of sense.
So, no, I'm pretty pumped about that. And anything we're going to get as far as Daredevil goes moving forward, I'm super excited. And now that we've got Greg's interest peaked, if you will. Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Cool. 45 minutes.
Yeah.
How many of those 45 minutes did you watch?
It was close. I did finish. It was like the first 20 minutes. I'm like, what do you, why? Why is it there? It was just, I don't really like those types. And it was all right. I didn't think there was anything really special, but I did finish it.
It was very interesting to see James Gunn 100% lean into, this is my slight homage to the Star Wars Holiday Special. Right down to the shitty animation.
That was a traditional animation style that was actually... they actually shot all that, and then they drew over top of it.
Richard, you really don't think that was him just giving a nod to the Star Wars Holiday Special?
No, come on. He posted about it on his Instagram page.
Oh, shit. Greg, give us your thoughts. What do you think, buddy?
I mean... Here's the thing. I don't like holiday specials. I don't really particularly like Christmas movies, any of that type of stuff. So it's hard judging it kind of harshly. I can see why people would like it. It's not my bag really.
Okay.
There were some funny parts, and I think he did really well with it. But yeah, like I said, I don't think I'll watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't. I don't really like those. I don't like Christmas movies.
What was the thing you liked the least?
That it was a Christmas show.
What was the thing that you enjoyed the most, or what was the thing that stuck with you after watching it?
Nothing really stuck with me as being amazing.
Okay.
It's like, hey, it's a show. Congrats. The premise is probably the funniest part. Stealing Kevin Bacon. But that's in the trailer part, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't say why he was trying to steal him. So.
I think the trailer did. I think the trailer, I mean, it's only 45 minutes long. So a trailer that's 2 minutes long, you're getting a fair amount of plot.
Yeah.
The inclusion of Cosmo kind of cracked me up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very minor grievance with it, in that it's the accent that the actress portraying or voicing Cosmo. There's no accent at first. It just sounded like a child. And then all of a sudden it was like Russian adult. But moving forward, like, I love that they have purchased Nowhere and that moving forward, they have all this stuff. And I mean, it sets up really well. I mean, even with the mid-credit spoiler, which we're not going to touch on, but that was an interesting little bit. I think for me, the part that I laughed at the most was Mantis seeing the Steve Rogers cosplay and like running and jumping into his arms. And then dude was just terrified and like screamed and ran away.
Right.
And then Drax beating the shit out of the GoBot.
Yeah. Like that part is, that is, that was pretty funny where she, they thought they were all real.
Yeah. And I think when they got all their Christmas gifts, and the one for Kraglin was literally just Kraglin receiving the gift. And it was like that, like rushing nesting doll, where it was just like another model of him getting the gift, another model of him getting the gift, another model of him getting the gift.
Right.
And then it was Drax punching the shit out of the cop car.
Like I said,
you know what? It had his bacon points. Stuff was odd, but like it was nice. It was a good 45-minute thing. I mean, I will probably watch it yearly around the holidays, just as I will that episode of Ted Lasso, which is very likely happening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him credit. I watched it all the way through, and I thought some of the effects were better done than a couple of the movies that they've had in the last little while.
Yeah. Oh man, Drax is still hilarious, but I was kind of more hyped for Guardians 3 trailer than I was for that one.
Well, thankfully the master of the segue just hooked us up. Greg,
mm-hmm.
You watched the trailer?
Yes, I did.
Richard?
Yes.
You also watched the trailer?
Oh, no, I want to go in completely just empty. I don't want to know anything. So you guys, I'm going to go ahead and shut off my mic and turn off my headphones.
Then we can wait on this one.
I'm fucking with you. I watched the trailer.
Okay.
I sent it to you guys.
Greg, did you not see me just shaking my head the second he started talking? I'm like,
I was watching the lead up to the World Cup. I wasn't paying attention to Richard.
It is funny because I often say things like that are just like blatantly out there untruths just to get a reaction out of people. And every once in a while I say it convincingly enough that people just believe me. And I'm like, to be clear, I was joking.
Right.
Well, I mean, you just got Greg, so.
Well, I just don't really listen. So he gets me more often than he knows.
Yeah, I'll be at work and I'll be talking like me and someone else with like a user, and I'll be like, "Yeah, hey, did you guys hear about Lee? Yeah, he got married when he was, you know, in the Philippines. Blah blah blah. Yeah, I'll just start off on like this like random weird tangent, and they'll be like, "Oh my god, Lee!" And he'll be like, "I didn't do any of that."
Oh,
I'm like, wait, you guys were taking me seriously? I was just messing around.
Well, okay. We've now brought it up. Give your thoughts. What are you feeling about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
I liked it. Craig?
We're just one word. I thought it was really good. I think the soundtrack's going to be kind of the show for it. I'm kind of a sucker for those type of movies, though, where they lead in the sound, you know, either the music or the OST is kind of just makes what the movie, you know, kind of makes you pulls you in emotionally. So
yeah,
it's gonna, I think it's gonna be different than what people think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be more emotional than anything.
I think we're gonna cry, but that's just James Gunn, and that's all he has done the last two films anyway.
I think we got a lot of deaths coming our way.
Yep.
Yep.
Ooh, this one's gonna hurt.
They show somebody carrying Peter in the trailer.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if he's gonna die or not, but yeah, there's a lot of deaths coming our way in that movie.
This is going to be the first big victory by a villain since Thanos snapped half the universe.
I don't think that you're going to have... I don't think the movie's going to end with a villain victory.
I think it should.
I know, but I think it's going to take a lot of sacrifice to get that villain down.
Hmm.
But, no, because... I'm relatively sure that Ant-Man's going to end with a villain victory, and I don't think you're going to have the year of the villain where every villain just wins.
No, but Kang the Conqueror is about to dog walk friggin' Scott Lang for a little bit of that film. Paul Rudd's about to look like he's 50 finally.
But yeah, no, I did. I really liked the trailer. I thought they did a really nice job with it. It gave it a certain amount of an epic feel and a certain amount of a conclusion to the series feel. I will be interested to see what legitimately happens with this series past Volume 3. I don't think that it's going to completely go away. I could be wrong, but I mean, when you have a series that consistently pulls in $1 billion every time you release a movie, the idea that they're going to kill off like 90% of the team and then just be like, oh, this isn't happening anymore, seems unlikely to me.
Yeah.
I think that Gunn joining DC gives them a perfect excuse to continue it without him down the line. You know, I know that he had said Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was his finish to the series.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they're going to kill off a few major characters, but I won't be shocked if, you know, come 2026, there's a revamped lineup in Guardians of the Galaxy 4.
Oh, I'm not ready. Nice thing is that we're 6 months away from Across the Spider-Verse, so we should be getting that trailer fairly soon as well.
Isn't it still December?
The new Spider-Man animated film?
Yeah, isn't it December of 2024? Or 2023?
No, I thought they said April 8th.
I don't know. Here's the deal. Once a movie gets pushed out like a year, I just stop paying attention until, like, it gets close. I'm looking it up.
Hang on.
October 7th of 2022 was the first date.
And now I'm seeing June 2nd,
2023. Oh, that'd be nice.
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would like that a lot. So hopefully that's accurate.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
We also got our first official look at Indiana Jones 5.
Oh, you guys can go off about this. I saw something and I just right past.
I sent you this trailer.
Yeah, I know. I didn't watch it.
I watched half of it.
Really?
I have zero interest in watching Indiana Jones. Zero. I watched that trail. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is stupid. Click. I haven't been. But that's just, okay, it's just dragging us along.
Wow.
But yeah, that one's all you, Richard. You can talk all you want about it. Ain't nobody here want
to
watch it.
I like the trailer. I thought it was actually really good. I'm hoping that it's a fitting send off to the series. and that it can erase the taste of Kingdom of the Crystal. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You're just a glutton for punishment, I think.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. It's not written by Lucas. I mean, that's the big thing, is it's not written by George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
I like George Lucas. He was an incredible storyteller. But at a certain point, he decided that he wanted to indulge his own idiosyncrasies and kind of forgot that you have to let the fans have fun. And then we got the Star Wars prequels and Indiana Jones 4.
Yep.
So I carry a certain amount of excitement for Indy 5. But that being said, I'm not like, I haven't like written it down on my calendar and been like, okay, this is what I'm looking forward to until June. This is it. Nope. I don't care about my birthday. It's Indiana Jones 5. Which I basically did too with Indiana Jones 4.
I hope it's everything you're looking forward to, buddy. That's all I got to say about that.
I just want a good movie. It makes me forget about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's legitimately it. Like
Avatar. I don't want to have an episode of I Told You So. I will be happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
Outside of that, is there anything else you guys have either watched or done this week that you want to touch on, or are we content to let them know how they can get a hold of us?
I started watching Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a good show.
If you are a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Rob McElhenney created a show with Charlie Day, who's actually not in it. And Megan Gans, who's an Always Sunny writer for the last like 3 or 4 seasons. Essentially, it's what if Steve Jobs created World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
So Rob plays this Steve Jobs style figure. And the entire first season is about the release of their first expansion. And he has a lead programmer named Poppy, who is basically his version of Woz. He just goes to her with these big ideas and, you know, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. And then she programs them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ensemble. So it has Rob McElhenney. It has Danny Putty from Community playing completely off-brand from his Community role. It also has David Hornsby. If you're an Always Sunny fan, you will know him as Cricket. And it has F. Murray Abraham, which you may not recognize the name. He was the voice of Khonshu in Moon Knight, but he's been a massive character actor for 50 years. Ridiculously good actor. He's in season 1 and 2 as the writer of the game, C.W. Longbottom. and he's freaking hilarious. he's someone who is even in the show, he's approaching 80 years old. I think he actually refers to himself as 80. So he has all of those kind of old viewpoints and tendencies and says things that someone who, you know, is 40 would definitely not say. Really, really funny, though. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's the best thing on Apple TV Plus, but it's pretty damn close to Ted Lasso level of quality.
It's funny.
It's a different type of show. Like Ted Lasso is basically a drama with a little bit of comedy mixed in. This is more like a comedy with a little bit of drama mixed in.
Right.
Honestly, what it reminded me of a lot when I was watching it, it reminded me of two things. Number one, it reminded me of basically the show Community, but set in a video game studio. But with a lot of the pacing and a lot of the story development, it reminded me a lot of like when HBO was really killing it with their Sunday TV lineup back in like the late 2000s. Mm-hmm. When you would just see stuff and it would just like, you would just hit. And every episode you were like, can't wait for the next one next week. So it's 2.5 seasons in right now. I think literally the episode that came out this past week is the midway point of season 3. If you are inclined to like any of the things I just said, you should probably give it a shot. I don't think you're going to come back mad that you watched it. I will fully admit, I tried to watch it when it first came out. I made it 2 minutes into the first episode and went, yeah, it's not for me, and turned it off. Which is really stupid on my part, because the first 2 minutes is just literally world building and showing you who Rob McElhenney's character is. And introducing their game, basically. So I was really closed-minded on it. But once I wasn't closed-minded on it, I was just like, boop, 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 this is awesome.
It's pretty funny.
Okay. So high recommend?
Yeah, high recommend.
Okay. And give it a little bit of time to breathe before you really...
You don't even really have to give it that much time. Just you have to get past the opening commercial for the game.
Yeah.
That's basically about it.
Okay.
So
the in the show they went through the pandemic also.
Yeah, and the pandemic episode I thought about it was probably one of the best pandemic episodes that I have seen. Like, you know, a lot of TV shows did like their version of the pandemic episode. Excuse me. And it was like, oh yeah, you know, it's the webcam show, and they kind of put it out, and you're like, oh yeah, okay. But it's not always great. It's just like they put something out to put something out.
Yeah.
And this did a fantastic job of it.
Yeah. That's the episode that sold me on it fully.
And that takes place between season 1 and season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will give it more than just a passing glance. And when I have some time to sit down and be able to invest in another series, I'll have a look at this one.
They're all give or take like 24, 25 minute episodes. Yeah. And there's only give or take, I want to say like 10 or 11 episodes a season.
Right.
So it is not exactly a big time commitment. Like you can watch an entire season in the amount of time it takes to watch a movie, give or take.
Okay. Okay. I'm into that. I like when they're quick.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys would like to touch on for this week? I know it's a little bit, it was kind of nice to have some new stuff. We had some trailers. There were some things we could watch. Obviously now moving forward, we need to hear about Spirited, right? From Greg next week. And it gives me a chance to watch it.
Spirited?
The Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds movie we talked about.
Oh yeah. Okay. I was thinking it was,
which is also on Apple TV Plus.
I thought it was the, my brain was like the horse movie.
Yeah, I know. when he first said it, I was like, I'm not watching that.
But that was just my brain.
You're the one that said we should watch it.
I know, because for a second there, I thought we were talking about the horse movie.
Right. That's what
in our history would tell you that I would have watched that and suggested.
You bring up a very valid point, but it is still like when you say Spirited, the first thing I think of is that damn horse movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of me at Richard Versus. You can get a hold of Greg at
Whoa Gregory.
And you can get a hold of Johnny at
@versuspodcast followed by the underscore.
Booyah.